What a long scripture today. It took us almost 5 minutes to finish in both Japanese and English. And, you know, it is 2017 and we are still on Book of Mark. How many years are we going to use to finish this book? It's not because I want to finish this, you know, soon. It's not because of that that I decided to read this long scripture today. Just intentionally, I wanted to combine basically two stories about Jesus' trial and as well as Peter's. So let us pray first, and we want to go through today's scripture.
一言お祈りいたします。 愛する天の父なる神様、 あなたの御名を覚えて感謝いたします。 2017年 第3回目の手術礼拝を迎えました。 今日もあなたの恵みの中でこの時を備えてくださったことを感謝いたします。 主よ、どうぞ今日もあなたの御霊によって私たち一人一人を豊かに導き、私たち一人一人に必要な糧を備えてくださいますように。 また主よ、今日来れなかったお一人お一人も帰り見てくださって、今いらっしゃるところにあって、あなたが支え、また慰めてくださいますように。 これからの一時を全て御手にお委ねいたします。主よ、どうぞあなたの御心が語られ、あなたの御言葉が語られますように助け導いてください。全てを感謝し御手に委ねて、愛する主イエス様の御名によって感謝してお祈りいたします。アーメン。
So we were reading Book of Mark chapter 14, and last time was, I think it's before Advent, so it's like November. But last time when we read the book of Mark, the story was about the Judah Iscariot, the Judah betrayed Jesus and handed him over to high priest and his fellows who hated Jesus, who wanted to put him to death. So here it goes. They took Jesus to the high priest, and all the chief priests, the elders, and the teachers of the law came together, and most of them are members of Sanhedrin. And Sanhedrin is the Jewish, the group of authority, and they have authority to judge people or to decide whether the person is guilty or not, and if he or she is guilty, they have a right to decide what kind of penalty is appropriate. And many years ago, they even had right to put a person to death, but at this time, they didn't have it because they were under Roman control. But they still had quite power, and they were able to hold the court and decide whether this person is guilty or not. So they came together. Peter followed him at a distance, right into the courtyard of the high priest. There he sat with the guards and warmed himself at the fire. Usually this court, the Sanhedrin, was held in the temple, but this was during the night, middle of the night. So the temple was closed, so they decided to have this court at priest's garden, the yard. And when Jesus was caught, his disciples all ran away and left him alone, but Peter actually came back and followed that Jesus and cloud. And he was able to do so because back 2,000 years ago, there was no street lamp, just a fire and small lamps. It was very, very dark, so you cannot tell who that is actually. So, you know, if you cover his head or face with food or something, then it's quite easy for him to sneak in without being noticed. So he did it. Maybe because he said he will give his life to Jesus just before this happened. So he thought maybe if he had a chance Maybe he wanted to save Jesus, I don't know, but anyway, he followed him. The chief priests and the whole Sanhedrin were looking for evidence against Jesus so that they could put him to death. The purpose and the function of court, the judge, is to determine whether this person is guilty or not. And if he or she is guilty, what kind of penalty is appropriate? That's what the court and judge is about. And even today, it's like that. But in their case, it was different. The answer was already there. The sentence was already there. They have already decided to put him to death. They were just looking for the evidence or testimonies or reason. So this code was injustice and unfair from the beginning. And that is why they had this during the middle of night. Because there was quite a few people, crowds and people who support Jesus as well. But in this cult, most people there was against Jesus. So they didn't want to the other people to come in and support Jesus. And they wanted to decide to put him to death before the morning. So they tried to do it, but they did not find any. They couldn't find any evidence or reason to put him to death. Many testified falsely against him, but their testaments did not agree. So a bunch of people testified that proved that Jesus is worthy to death. But their testimonies did not match. And it has to be much to decide to put him to death. Then some stood up and gave this false testimony against him. We heard him say, I will destroy this temple made with human hands, and in 3 days will build another, not made with hands. Well, maybe Jesus said something like this before, but not exactly. He said he will build a temple in 3 days. He was talking about his own body, but he never said he will destroy the temple. He didn't say that. So, of course, their testimony did not agree. And this is really strange and interesting, because even with their evil intention, and probably the priests and teachers below, I think they paid some money to the people to give the false testimony against Jesus, and I think they did that. But even with this bad evil intention, they could not find anything to any reason to put him to the death. The more they try to make him guilty, the more holiness and innocence of Jesus Christ was revealed. And of course, high priest and his friends are frustrated. They thought it's going to be easy one, because they are having during the middle of night, and there is no bunch of crowds who are against them, and these people on their side, and maybe they paid some money to support this court judgment. So I can imagine they were so stressed. They thought it's going to be easy one, takes only, maybe 20, 30 minutes to finish this court, but didn't work out. the harder they try to put him to death, to make him guilty, the more the holiness and the guilt, it not guilty, is revealed. So I guess the high priest was so stressed. Then the high priest stood up before them and asked Jesus, "Are you not going to answer? What is this testimony that these men are bringing against you?" But Jesus remained silent and gave no answer. Jesus didn't answer because he didn't need to. But all testimonies against him did not agree. He did not need to say anything. But high priest was really frustrated. He wanted him to say something and wanted to catch his word, and you know, somehow he wanted to put him to death. Again, the high priest asked him, "Are you the Messiah, the Son of the Blessed One?" And Jesus opened his mouth and answered, "I am," which is ego eimi in Greek, which means "I am." And he continued, "And you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven." Sometimes I know that some people claim that Jesus actually did not say yes. And that's true. He did not say the word yes, but he said, "I am," and he continued, "And you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven." And this word is actually written in the book of Daniel. When Daniel was having a prophecy about the last day of the world, the last day of the judgment, and when the Messiah comes, how he appeared, and which is also Jesus was also saying same thing, and which is also written in Revelation as well. So when they heard what Jesus said, they could tell he was talking about that he is the Messiah, 100%, no doubt. And Jesus, who has been silent, answered only this one question during the court. Knowing answering this question could lead him to in danger, but he answered. He did not say anything to protect him when people gave a false testimony against him. He didn't say nothing, but only this question he answered, "I am. I am the Messiah." The high priest tore his clothes. Back 2,000 years ago in the Jewish culture, when something really makes them angry, they tore their clothes. When something really sad happened, they tore their clothes. And of course, what Jesus said made him angry, and this is why the high priest tore his clothes. But, you know, if we could see inside of his heart, I think he was so happy. Finally! So he tore his clothes, but I think his face was smiling, you know. Yes! Finally! I caught a word. I caught him. Finally, we found the reason to put him to death. He was so excited. So excited. And he said, "Why do we need any more witnesses?" he asked. "You have heard the blasphemy. What do you think?" And of course, they all condemned him as worthy of death. Then some began to spit at him. The blindfolded him, struck him with their fists, and said prophecy, and the girls took him and beat him. Finally, they did what they wanted to do. They were excited. But let's go back to the function and purpose of the court. The court is the place to find out about the truth. Right? Find out about the truth. So when Jesus said this, what they need to do is to determine and find out whether what Jesus said is true or not, whether he is the Messiah or not. They should have examined, but they didn't, because they already had answer. And this could sometimes happen to us as well. Even before we think about, even before we determine, even before we try to find out the truth, sometimes we already have answer in us. And this is quite dangerous. We always need to determine and, you know, to find out whether this is true or not. So I recommend you not just listen to what your pastor said blindly. Sometimes I make mistake, or maybe I might lie. So when you hear something, you always should determine what you heard is true or not. And it is quite dangerous believing or trusting something without doing it. It might sound unfaithful, but it is not. When Paul was evangelizing the people around the world, there was a certain group of people, and when they heard the gospel from Paul, they looked into the Bibles, and they determined whether this man was saying is true or not. And the Bible said they were excellent Christians. So we always should determine. But on the other hand, it is also for not to believe because of your bias. Not to believe because you heard something on the internet, or because you heard this in the news, or some famous people was saying this. So I don't believe it. That's a fool thing to do as well. We have to go and seek and determine. Bible said, seek and you will find the answer. Knock the door will be opened. We always have to seek and determine. And I want to continue to verse 66. While Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came by. When she saw Peter warming himself, she looked closely at him. So from verse 63, this is another trial. The first trial was trial of Jesus Christ. But there was another trial was going on in the yard, a short distance from where Jesus was. The trial of Peter. This is not official trial, but actually Peter went through the same thing as Jesus Christ. Jesus was asked, are you the Messiah? And Peter was asked, are you a follower of this Messiah? So he went through the same kind of a trial. And there was a servant girl of high priest came by, and you know, she just approached him closely. It was so dark. It's dark, but if you, you know, go close and look into the face, you can tell. And she said, "You also were with that Nazarene Jesus," she said. But he denied it. I think Peter was shocked. Oh my, what I'm gonna do? And instantly he denied it. "I don't know or understand what you're talking about." We can tell how he was upset, what he said. "I don't know, I don't understand what you're talking about." He said and went out into the entryway. So he was ready to run away. You know, oh, this is I'm going to be in the trouble. So he went to the entrance so he could run away whenever he needed. When the servant girl saw him there, she said again to those standing around, "This fellow is one of them." Again, he denied it. After a little while, those standing near said to Peter, "Surely you are one of them, for you are Galilean." I don't know, maybe they could tell from his appearance or their accent. I don't know, but they could tell. And they know that the Jesus and his group was from Galilee. So they said, "You must be one of them." And Peter, he began to call down curses, and he swore to them, "I don't know this man you are talking about." Immediately, the rooster crowed the second time. Then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken to him, "Before the rooster crows twice, you will disown me three times." And he broke down and wept. So from today's passage, I'd like to conclude with 2 points today. The first is a challenge. In the book of Mark, chapter 8, verse 38 says, "Whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it." And this word came true here. Jesus could save his life if he kept silent to the end. He had a chance to be saved, but he didn't. And he claimed himself as the Messiah. Instead of keep silence, he told the truth, knowing that could lead him to death. He said it. Jesus gave his life. He was ready to give his life for gospel, the purpose of what he came. Jesus gave his life, but we know he rose again, that God had risen him. Not only him, but also those who believe in him, thousands, millions, billions of people who believed in him also received this life. He gave his life, but his death brought countless life to us. On the other hand, Peter denied Jesus to save his own life. When he was asked the question, he denied Jesus because he wanted to run away and save his life. And actually he did save his life. But
He knew he lost something more important.
Of course, we know he was recovered later, but at this time, he knew he lost something more important. That's why he wept when he remembered what Jesus said. How would you answer? In this world, you know, living in North America, we don't have to worry about our own life because of our faith. But even today, the same thing could happen to in our lives. You know, like last few years, we've seen the news on TV, and in ISIS, they caught some Christian people, and they, you know, kill them, right? What if you were them? What if you were caught by these kind of people, and, you know, they put knife on your throat? And are you a follower of Jesus? Are you a Christian? If so, you will be killed. What would you do? Can you say, yes, I am? I don't think I can do that. And not even that extreme situation. In our daily, you know, everyday life, we face the trials. The world tests you. The world asks you, are you really a follower of Jesus? Are you really his disciple? Maybe not direct word and question, but sometimes we face that kind of situation. And of course we want to answer, yes, I am. But in reality, sometimes we fail, like Peter. You know, we do not deny like Peter in a direct way in the word, but how we react, or how we treat people, how we think inside of us. Sometimes I think we deny Jesus as well. And second thing that we want to remember is that it's our weakness. In the time of a trial, we want to answer, yes, I am the follower of Jesus. But at the same time, we have to remember our own weakness. We are not like Jesus. We are like Peter. We fail. And Jesus knows it. And this is why the Bible says, we confess that Jesus is the Lord, Jesus is the Savior, or I am the follower of Jesus, of Him, not by our own strength, or not by our own courage, or even faith. The Bible said, we can confess that Jesus is our Lord only by Holy Spirit that in you, only by Holy Spirit. So this is why we need to pray. We need to encourage each other because we are weak. We should pray that God fill us with His Holy Spirit. May God fill us with His strength. May God fill us with His love and encouragement. Encourage. Because our own strength, our own faith, our own whatever strength could not stand before the trial. This is why we have to ask for the God. 何か
English or Japanese? When the someone look at you, the person thinks, oh, you are same like me, but something different. Why she is so different? Oh, because she knows Jesus. そういうふうにその人が見たときに、あなたのことをそういうふうに思えるようなバイブルになりなさいって教わってたんですけれども、だからいつも逃げ出したくなることとかがあるときに、ああダメだ逃げちゃいけないと思ってその言葉をいつも思っているんですけれども、なんか今の先生のメッセージを聞いて思い出したんですけど、
ありがとうございます Thank you。 そうですね、 We want to be the Bible. We won't be the Bible when people see us, but that comes from His Spirit in us, I thinkSo I don't know, I don't know what to say. But one thing I know is we have to pray. We always have to pray to God to help us and fill us with His Holy Spirit. Without it, we can do nothing. Let's pray. お祈りしましょう。愛する天の父なる神様、あなたは私たちのために命を失おうとするとき、ためらうことなく、私はメシアであると、私は救い主であると宣言してくださいました。それゆえにあなたは十字架で死なれましたが、主は父なる神はあなたをよみがえらせ、そしてあなたを通して私たちに永遠の命の約束をくださったことを覚えて感謝をいたします。主よ、私たちもまた人生の中で試される時があります。しかしそのような中で私たちは時に失敗をし、時に自分の弱さに負けるものであります。しかし主よ、それでもなおあなたは繰り返し繰り返し私たちに、あなたは私を愛するか、聞いてくださる方であることを感謝いたします。主よ、どうぞ私たちが試練の前に立つときに、主よ、あなたが I am と答えたように、私たちも主よ、あなたのしもべですと、あなたを信じるものですと答えることができますように、その勇気とその力を主よ、あなたが私たちのうちに与えてくださいますように助け導いてください。またそのことを通して、まだあなたのことを知らない一人一人が、主よ、あなたの愛と、あなたが生きておられる誠の神であることを知ることができますように、すべてを感謝し御手に委ね、愛する主イエス様の御名によって感謝してお祈りいたします。アーメン。